And now, News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show about getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Hosted by the staggeringly positive Kristen Heemstra, an experienced human resources manager and college admissions consultant. And now, here's Kristen on WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show on 1360 WCHL. We have a very interesting show for you today because we are going to be talking about the Mayan calendar and the new era. Seeing as this is 2012, it kind of makes sense to address this. And we have with us Sherry Dillard. Welcome, Sherry.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Sherry, can you tell us a little bit about why you know so much about the Mayan calendar?
Well, okay. I lived in, years ago, I was fortunate enough to live in northernmost part of Mexico and Guatemala. And I worked in villages, Indian villages, installing simple gravity-fed clean water pipes.
Oh, cool.
And there would be like one spigot in the, for the whole village to use. But before we went in there, there was no running water at all. They basically used water from streams, which was contaminated at times. So it was a small team of people that went in with simple systems. But at the time, I was very fortunate because it was, this was about 20 years ago.
Okay.
And a lot of the people that we worked with were descendants of the Mayans, and they were still in large part following some of the old Mayan beliefs.
Ooh.
And one of the villages that we went to was very close to Palenque, which is a Mayan ruin, an ancient Mayan ruin that's been pretty fully restored, and it's been actually on the news quite a bit about, they have actually gone into the deeper pyramids and found secret chambers, but going to the ruins was kind of life-changing for me in that it got me very interested in the Mayan culture and studying more about it. And I've been very fortunate in life that I've just seemed to bump into people who have had a lot of experience with the Mayans, my own experience, my own studies with it. So just through different things like that, I've come to know a little bit. I'm not an expert by any means, but I do know a little bit about the culture, the Mayan culture.
So, Sherry, your profession, you're a practicing intuitive, correct? And I know
you've written
several books, Discover Your Psychic Type, Love and Intuition, and I think you just are coming out with another one?
I'm coming out in March with the Miracle Workers Handbook, the 7 Levels of Power Manifestation of the Virgin Mary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we combine kind of your intuitive side with the Mayan side, it kind of opens a different light into the Mayan calendar. So the reason we're having this is because the Mayan calendar ends in 2012.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Well, I was telling you earlier, I was asked to give a talk for an intuitive outlook forecast for the coming year. And I generally do not, I kind of stay away from that generally just because, I've always got in the back of my mind that, oh, I don't really want to look at problems and earthquakes and disaster and all the things that, people in this kind of line of work like to come out with. But I was asked to do the talk, and because it was 2012 and there had been a lot of press news about the end of the Mayan calendar, I thought that that would be a good place for me to, and my love of the Mayan people, to begin my own intuitive looking into things. Now, some of these things I have always known. The Mayan, in fact, in Palenque, one of the first things I noticed when I went to that ruin was it was just this beautiful three pyramids which surrounded a very large courtyard, stone courtyard. Now, this courtyard, I have learned, was the site of their ball game, and a very important ritual game that they played. And this game, which was really more than a game, it was actually part of their deep fundamental beliefs about the universe and about themselves, was played, like I said, on stone court. One side represented the human realm. The other side represented the spirit realm. There was a stone, it was a stone ring on one side of the court on a wall. And the point of the game was to get a ball, stone ball, from through this. It, you know, when you saw it, it was kind of incredible because actually they didn't use their hands at all either. But somehow they were to get this ball through this small ring to the other side of the court was the object of the game. But again, it wasn't really about athletics. What it was about in their belief system was maintaining cosmic order, in that the ball represented the sun, and it was the transition from the human realm to the spirit realm. And in accomplishing this game and getting the ball through the ring, it was believed that cosmic order and harmony was maintained, and that spirit would bless the human realm with abundance and continued life. Now, I've known that piece of the puzzle of this for a long time, and I've also known that the Earth at this time in the Mayan belief system is going through that center ring. And so when I started to look into this more intuitively, I knew enough to know that this is no accident, that the Mayans, when it came to calendars and stars and astrology, all of that were incredibly advanced people and have been and very, very accurate in how their calendar has worked. So it seems more than a fluke that all that it would just end. I mean, it could have continued in terms of cycles. So when I intuitively looked into this, what I had a huge aha moment in was that, and it made perfect sense when I received it, was that because the Earth right now is technically in the center of the universe, in the Mayans, it's going through that ring, what's happening is that the Earth is going from the human side of the court to the spirit side of the court. Well, and when, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, so it, I just to recap what you're saying, it's basically moving from one side of the court to the other through the ring.
Right.
Okay, I do have to ask you, is this the game where people died playing it?
Well, that's a point of speculation.
Okay.
It has been said, yes, that what would happen would be after the game, there would be a human sacrifice.
Okay.
Now, that didn't supposedly happen at all in every Mayan development, though. In Palenque, it did. And in fact, in Palenque, it's very, very clear. I mean, it's, there's the court, there's the pyramids, and then there's a very tall stone structure with basically a large stone, just, you know, shelf or whatever you want to call it, where people were actually sacrificed after the game.
Okay.
They're not sure exactly who was sacrificed, but in that particular settlement, that is, was part of the game, yes. But, I mean, in other places, they don't feel like that was so much part of the ritual of it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm sorry. Did you have another question?
No, I was just going to say, so getting back, we're moving now to the spiritual side.
Right. So, what I then realized was that if we're moving into the spiritual realm, if Earth is moving right now in the Mayan belief system into the spiritual realm, it makes perfect sense that the linear calendar would end.
Ah, it's a man-made calendar.
Well, right, exactly, because in spiritual energy, there is no time and space and condition. It's not, spiritual energy is outside of our sense of time and space, condition, cause and effect. So, essentially, in the calendar and in the belief system, and which is really very true right now, what's happening is that we're going into a time, a new era, where spiritual energy is going to be flowing into our environment in, it, you know, I, it's like a tsunami of spiritual energy coming in. Okay. It's going to be our main, it's going to influence us now more than the material-minded cause and effect has been influencing us. It doesn't mean that that's going to end tomorrow or it's gone completely black and white, but what it does mean is that we're at the beginning of a shift that we have not before experienced.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, I want to hear more about this shift we're undergoing.
All righty.
You are listening to the Art of Potential Show. This is Kristen Hiemstra on 1360 WCHL.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Hiemstra.
Hi, this is Kristen Hiemstra. You are listening to the Art of Potential Show. We are talking with Sherry Dillard, and we are talking about the transition the Earth is in right now, according to the Mayan calendar of 2012. So, Sherry, you were just saying we are now entering spiritual time, and we're having waves of spiritual energy coming in.
Right, and let me talk for a moment about what that means to us on an everyday level. What that means is that I like to give the metaphor of water to understand how this is going to influence us. Water is nurturing, nourishing. We all need it. It's relaxing. But water in great amounts can also be destructive, overwhelming, it can cause lots of problems. And so at this time, what's happening, and we're already seeing it, we've seen it happening in the last several years, is that spiritual energy is a higher vibration than material energy. Material energy is third dimension. Physical is a denser vibration. So as this spiritual energy comes in and kind of has a dissonance, meets up with the prevailing material energy, what's happening is we've seen it for several years is a breakdown. Where we've seen the breakdown has been in the more denser material types of things. Governments that have been ruled in with hierarchies have been breaking down. It's a very material, dense energy. We've seen it in our own culture with our lending institutions that have been run on greed, profit, companies that have been more or less taking money, greed again. These are denser energies. These are old, outworn types of ways of living, of belief, and they're no longer being supported. So they're continuing to break down, and they will continue to break down into 2012. I feel like in 2012, on the more positive end of things, because we've already seen it. We've seen it with oil for a number of years. We've seen it with, like I was saying, lending institutions, banking, finance. I think we're still going to continue to see it in terms of a global detoxing of bacteria, contamination, things like that. It's not completely, we're not out of the woods with the breakdown. It's going to continue. But on the more positive end of 2012, what we're going to begin to see more and more is we're going to start to see communities of people, collectives of people, businesses, in different areas, those who are more aligned with spiritual energy, spiritual attributes of love, fairness to others, awareness of the connectedness of life, those who practice respect for others. We're going to start to see that being supported more and more, and those types of businesses, institutions, communities, whatever it is that has those types of goals and intents are going to, with this spiritual shift, we're going to see more support, more success in those areas.
So then on a personal level, if we're thinking about ourselves kind of as our own institution,
right,
are we going to be experiencing kind of a shift in our own mindset about what our values are and then looking to align those values with different institutions?
Well, on a personal level, it's going to be the same as, you know, it's always the microcosm of macrocosm. On a personal level, those areas, I feel like what's going to happen are those areas in our life where we ourselves live in lower vibrations of energy, mm-hmm. where we have fear, where we have negativity, where we, our shadow within us, those types of things. Let me give some examples. People who, let's say, have a fear of their financial future, or they have some negativity toward others or themselves in some way. Wherever those denser vibrations are in a person, those things are going to be challenged in 2012 on a personal level. And it basically, for an individual to feel and to experience more success in life, it's going to become more and more clear on an individual basis that instead of approaching things, you know, a lot of our motivation is fear. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times we do things because we're fearful. A lot of times we do things that greed, you know, emphasizes fear. They kind of go hand in hand. We want to be number one. We want to compete with others. We don't have a mindset of there's enough for everybody.
Right.
We generally have a mindset that we have to kind of really scramble and kind of get ours.
Yeah, get our piece of the...
Right. See, approaching life through that right now is not going to... It's going to begin to really be clear on an individual basis that does not lead to anything but more unhappiness, more negativity, more fear. And then for people, when they can approach those same things that they desire, which is happiness, health, abundance, through, let's put it this way. If you, in 2012, people will get much further in life if they approach, let's say, their job, looking for work, through what do I love, what can I share with others, what's my gift to the world, what have I come here to do, those intents will bring more success than the thought of, oh my God, I gotta work, what's gonna happen to me,
mm-hmm.
because I, you know, I'm gonna lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
Those bastards out there, excuse my language, that took that from me,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go get it. See, none of all of that, I mean, it's never really worked, you know?
No.
There's been enough energetic support, basically, that people have. You know, it's part of that old, you know, we can go back into, you know, the World War One, Two, the Depression, where some of those things came in that struggle, in that mm-hmm. fight. And we assumed that on a very individual basis, that we had to be in a war, you know, we had to fight, we had to accomplish. And so it's understandable why we got there, because of the basic, you know, powers and forces that were collectively, we were responding to. But now the collective forces that we're responding to are at a much higher vibration. See what I'm saying?
I do. And actually, I'm glad to hear what you're saying, just because to kind of take the discussion in a different way, one of the things that's always frustrating for me when I work with people who are searching for career matches is that they will not go with what they love or what they enjoy because they're fearful that
right.
that won't get them what it, you know, stability, or they can't get health care, or, you know, there's all these
right.
other things that end up being the deciding mechanism besides what you're talking about, which is an expression of who they are. They just almost don't feel entitled or strong enough to go in that direction. So from my perspective, I'm actually glad, because I hope that will make a lot more people
right.
happy with their work.
Can you just for a moment imagine the incredible shift that would be.
Oh, I can. That's what keeps me going.
If that we actually, and like I said, it's understandable how we got there. If you look at the history of mankind, it's quite understandable how we have now deep within our DNA and our unconscious, you know, the collective unconscious, these things are ingrained in us.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to be fearful. You have to push. You have to do what you have to do. So can you see the incredible implications now of this shift that would say, you know, wait a minute, my success isn't coming in that area. I'm being drawn in a different way, and I'm finding success there.
And they're happier people. They're more joyful people.
And we actually get to, I mean, on an individual basis and then obviously on the collective basis, the world will change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world will actually really change.
It will. Yeah. At its very core,
At its very, very core. And that's in part, I think the mind knew that. And that's why the calendar ended, because it was like an exclamation point.
Ah.
Like, no, get this. This is the shift right now.
Wow.
This is happening. It's going to start happening. It's already been happening. It's not going to be black and white.
Right.
We're going to be going through many, many layers still of detoxing the old negativity, the old fear, the old impulses that pushed us to live our lives in this way. So we're talking about, you know, many years of unfolding. Mm-hmm. But just knowing that there's a different support now in our energetic, you know, basically that collective unconscious, that we can start drawing from that pool of love, compassion, gratitude, forgiveness, and that expressing that in the world is going to lead to more success than it ever has in the past.
Well, that sounds great. I want to hear more about this. We do need to take a break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about how to move into what I think you're talking about, the higher vibrations and...
Okay.
Kind of doing that. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Art of Potential show. I am talking with Sherry Dillard, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra. I am talking with intuitive Sherry Dillard, and we are talking about the Mayan calendar and kind of why it ended in 2012 and what that may mean. And we were just talking about just how great life could be if people were doing what they loved and kind of staying in a different vibratory space. Is that what we're talking about?
I think that's what we're talking about, right.
So what are the differences in the vibrations of the feelings, and how do we get to a higher place?
All right. Good question. You know, the very number one thing, obvious, you know, would be to actually believe that there is such a thing.
Okay.
Which it's a hard concept for many people. But if you think and if you think about vibration in terms of things like electricity, cell phone, Facebook, you know, vibration simply being energy at different wavelengths. And that's, you know, if we also look at that through that lens, we can see that collectively we've already been making some of that shift, in that one of the places where we have evolved incredibly so has been through communication technology, which is a higher vibration. It's a higher vibration because it's run on non-physical sources of energy. You know, it's run on wavelength satellites. I mean, obviously, there's a satellite, and that's physical, and there's a cell phone, and that is. But it's all happening through invisible streams of energy, and we've come to accept that. And our world relies on it right now. So in that way, you can see how important the concept of energetic vibration is. Because that's all that is vibration. That's just the current of vibration. My belief is that we are going to, as we ascend and as we collectively start embodying more of the higher spiritual quality, my feeling is that we're going to just, you know, like we discovered electricity, the way we discovered nuclear energy, my feeling is there is another level of energy that we're going to start to tap into. And at that level, we're going to start, and that's probably, no, that's not going to be 2012, most likely. But at that level of energy, we're going to start to make incredible shifts in the way we, you know, with car, everything. Our whole energy system is going to change. But anyway, to get back to the individual and making that shift, think of vibration as very tangible would be number one, that it's not as esoteric and out there as what people may think. Number, the second thing to keep in mind about shifting vibration is that emotions, thoughts, just like, you know, we can say that a rock has a very heavy density to it, and a butterfly does not. It's a higher, lighter physical energy. We can also say that, and you can feel this within yourself, if you just kind of sat and felt fear or sat and felt negativity, you can kind of feel like a slump within your heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, people will say, why are you, you know, your shoulders are, you know, sagging or mm-hmm. you look heavy, or it's a heavier energy to carry around, sad, grief, negativity, those kinds of things. And emotions like love, forgiveness, gratitude, happiness, joy, they lift us. That's the vibration that lifts us. We have more energy flowing through us. One of the biggest signs of depression, of course, is tiredness. One of the signs of health and joy is, of course, lots of energy.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to do a lot. So you can see just in those things where we can
mm-hmm.
really understand vibration and energy. So the key is for an individual to, again, believe in vibration, believe emotions and thoughts have vibration. And once you know that, to make a conscious choice to shift into, if you're feeling fear or negativity or heavy thoughts, or you're thinking about disaster and what could happen and how you're going to lose everything, it's becoming more and more mainstream to realize that those thoughts you're having, the feelings you're having, are actually going to manifest and create more of that. And the higher feelings, it's almost like it's really honestly a leap of faith and trust to step into higher vibration. You know, what we normally do is say, well, I'll be happy when something comes along and makes me happy, you know?
It's not inside, it's outside.
Right. It's like, well, I'll be happy when this happens.
Right.
I will feel great when that happens.
Right. You know? When I lose 10 pounds, I'm going to be the happiest person there is.
I can't be happy because I'm heavy and I'm not married and
right.
I don't like my job. So
mm-hmm.
life is bad and I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of this shift. It's to say, you know what, though? I might not be able to change all that today, but I can change my thought and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I can find something that makes me happy. I can do gratitude. You know, every morning, every single morning, one of the first things I do is I go through the day before, and with everything that happened, I find something to be grateful for. And what that does is it gets me every day, every morning, into a completely different energetic awareness.
And we, just to refer to a past show, we did a show on authentic happiness, and that was one of the methods that our speaker, Ben O'Neill, brought up. You know, he said that is one of the most powerful and scientifically proven ways to increase your happiness.
It really is. And he's right. You know, that it really is scientifically proven.
Mm-hmm.
You really can feel that shift. And that's part of the spiritual shift we're making, too. And you can see it, you know, in government falling. You can see it in Occupy Wall Street. We're going to see this really intensify in 2012, which is going to be, we're going to wake up that the power is within us. It's
mm-hmm.
in our own spirit.
Mm-hmm. That we have the power to change things.
Yeah, that it's within our spirit, and our spirit is in that higher vibration. It's listening within to, you know, it's not as far away as we think. You know, we think it's far away gratitude, it's far away happiness. More and more, it's going to become more evident that, no, wait a minute, that is inside of me. I can't find it out there. I can only find it inside. And then once we do that, again, we'll have it. We'll have quicker, more ability than ever to manifest quickly these higher vibrations.
So it almost sounds like part of this process involves us having the realization that we are controlling our thought processes, first of all.
Right.
So some of that I know is based on asking ourselves, kind of reframing questions so that we're not asking ourselves what else could go wrong.
Right. Yeah, right.
Instead of saying what's going right and how great is that.
So right. You know, and part of that too is if you get to something in your life that it's really, really hard to find anything positive about,
mm-hmm.
which is true. I mean, there are things in life that it's just really hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've struggled, like, with my gratitude thing of cake. Now, what am I grateful for in that? You know,
right.
Trying to figure out what in the heck am I grateful for there. And sometimes the only thing I can come up with, and I think, and again, this is a part of our shifting consciousness, is just to be grateful for the mystery.
Oh, okay.
You know, that I don't know why this happened, I'll say. I don't know what the bigger picture is in. I don't know why I had to experience this, but I'm grateful that the mystery is unfolding in my life. And leave it like that.
Well, that's a very positive way to look at it.
Yeah.
I like that. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, it sounds to me like stuff is kind of coming up that we're going to have to deal with, so maybe some strategies.
Oh, okay.
All right. You are listening to The Art of Potential on 1360 WCHL.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with intuitive Sherry Dillard about the changes in the Mayan calendar and what it means for us in our daily life. And we just left off with the part and kind of talking about how the shift is affecting us individually. So, Sherry, my question to you is this. Is it the picture I have in my mind is almost like a zit, which is so inappropriate, but it's like all the yucky stuff is coming to the surface.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. You're right.
Okay.
Yep, that's right. And that I mean, that's globally in terms of, like I said, my intuitive feeling 2012 is we are going to see more and more of that, the toxin, surfacing through food, water. There's going to be more of an emphasis on clean water. There's going to be more awareness toward that whole, you know, everything that we've been in denial about stuffing it away, stuffing it down, putting it away.
Mm-hmm. Ignoring it, denying it, yeah.
Missing it. But that goes on, that's true for the individual, too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And that's actually, you know, it's a really good point to make because there's a difference between having gratitude and staying in a higher vibration. And at the same time, staying in touch with your own need to detox and let go of negativity and stress or fear. You know, it's almost manic to think that always being happy is possible, especially right now.
There's a lot of pressure right there.
Yeah, there really is, and it's unrealistic. Right. I should say that because it's not like, you know, especially right now, because I think people should expect that there is going to be stuff coming up now. I mean, I know that sometimes I can't get to a better place within myself, within my consciousness, until I really let up my fears, until I really discover why am I holding on to a negative belief about this, or what is the negative belief,
mm-hmm.
or why am I angry about this? I mean, I still, it's fine to be angry. It's fine to be negative. I don't want to act like these are things that we have to shun and push away. The whole shift is not about I'm never there. What it's really about is I need to let this stuff up. I need to acknowledge it. I need to let that shadow energy that has been unconsciously driving my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I have to really let it up in an attitude of love and compassion, that it's okay I feel this way, I can love myself through it. And what is this about? And once we do that, it begins to dissipate.
And another technique I've seen, too, is to give gratitude to it and say, you know, I'm happy that, you know, I was trying to protect myself by being angry, but I can see that that really wasn't getting. But you do. It sounds like there's a lot of self-reflection just kind of in the macrocosm and microcosm.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And it's like, and that's the whole thing, like you just said, it's like whatever it may be, instead of denying it or thinking there's something wrong with me, bad me because I'm fearful or bad me because I'm feeling negative or angry about something, is to say exactly what you did, which is, okay, you know, it's having compassion for yourself for having these feelings and loving yourself enough to know, you know what, I don't deserve to be feeling this way.
I'm glad you said that, because there's one message I'm really trying to get out to people, which is, most people I know treat others better than they treat themselves, and they will definitely show compassion and forgiveness and caring and everything to other people. But then when it comes to dealing with that themselves, they are some tough cookies.
I tell you, that's the truth. And you know what I tell people too, clients of mine? I say to them, if there was a little girl or a little boy in front of you and they were saying to you exactly what you just said to me, that, you know, I should have, whatever their negativity or whatever the fear, would you scold them for that? Would you try to shame them and blame them?
Mm-hmm.
No, you would never. You'd have compassion. you would love them. So sometimes it works to put it outside of yourself into a sense that a child's telling you, because it is kind of like the child in us is the one that initially has kind of absorbed a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, and that, I think that's, I think you hit the nail on the head, though. No matter, even as parents, when you try to be good parents and not have those be overwhelming areas in your child's development, they still happen.
Well, because it is, it's part of our collective unconscious. You know, it really isn't as personal as we think it is. I mean, it feels personal, and we perpetrate it as personal. And that's why this shift is so, so significant, is because the collective unconscious is going to start to detox, and it's going to start to incorporate. It has to. It has to. It's like you cannot stop water from flowing into anything if it's strong and powerful.
No, that's true.
I mean, we've seen that over and over and over. We saw it in New Orleans. We saw it in Japan. Water is going to find its way in, and the spiritual energy is going to find its way in. You know? And the more we allow it and accept it and look at it as a more powerful force than maybe we have ever, you know, we look at the outside things as so powerful in terms of, you know, what could happen to us. And we downplay that spiritual energy can be powerful. And that's what we're about to learn, how powerful it really can be.
It doesn't sound like the lessons may always be that easy either.
Exactly. And that's why we've got to be conscious right now, because if we push it away, we deny it, and we keep going on the old script of fear and negativity, we're definitely going to manifest some dissonance in our life, some definite challenges.
Okay, so as we move to that space then where we, you know, stuff comes up for us and we can say, all right, this is part of my own toxicity, this is part of my community's toxicity, my nation's toxicity, the business,
right,
you know, as all these things are kind of being pushed up, what are some suggestions you would have to keep ourselves in a state of integrity and poised and kind of grounded so that we're able to handle, you know, shifts as they come through?
Right. That's a good question. I feel like this is a really good time to begin, if you're not doing it now, to have a fair amount of alone and reflection time during the day, evening, whatever it may be, to just sit and listen. You know, part of the influx of spiritual energy is going to be that people are going to become more intuitive. People are going to dream more, pay attention to dreams, start writing dreams down. It's a good way to process. It's a good way to understand what's happening and to allow more positive energy in. I also feel trying to be outdoors in nature more is also going to be very grounding. and it'll kind of help the body to kind of balance itself with some of the changes, again, that are going on within. It'll be a good outlet to be physical, to walk, have exercise. One of the more important things is finding people, communities of like-minded people that can support you with your own goals for the year, your positive frame of mind. One of the most essential issues I get coming up collectively is going to be, we're going from a real individual perspective, me, collective perspective, community.
Okay,
so
that's wonderful.
Communities, collective, the people are going to be incredibly important to this. Yes, finding a group, finding those people that you feel really can match your own vibration and reinforce it.
In a positive way.
Yeah, in a positive way, exactly.
Because we all do have positive and not so positive.
Right, yeah.
Ways.
Right, and if you're around people that it's kind of a commitment to do it, then it definitely will reinforce it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Paying attention to synchronicity is another one. Again, we're talking about spiritual energy. And so things that kind of seem coincidental, but maybe not, maybe are signs for you, directions of, you know, where to put your energy. Maybe new work, new people, new relationships, that kind of thing.
As you're creating yourself? Or
yeah. In fact, I'm glad you brought that word up. I call this era right now, this year, we're going into the era of inspired creativity. Listening to your inspiration, participating creatively, whether it be, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you have to be a great artist or know how to paint. It's being able to think, feel from that original place within and express that more, having more connections with people in that way.
And giving them the space to have that connection, too, I think is important.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us, and you gave us a lot to think about here.
And well, I enjoy it like always.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have just listened to the Art of Potential show on 1360 WCHL.